Well, this, I want to ask both of you.
Okay.
So what are both of your Enneagrams?
I knew you were going to say that. I was going to say, don't ask me about Enneagrams because I can't stand that stuff.
Oh, why?
IKR, I Know Right, is a podcast about women for women.
In a world that forces us to choose between extremes, black and white, red and blue, we believe you have more freedom than you've ever grasped. What if there was another approach to the important topics of your life? Things like sex, race, self-image, even FOMO.
What if there was a third way that both culture and religion missed? This season, we're looking for that elusive third way. The way of grace, of challenge, of growth, the way of Jesus. IKR, Real Conversations with Real Women.
Okay, so here we are. I can't believe season three is almost over.
That's crazy. It did go by pretty quickly.
It really did.
Yeah.
Anyway, we have a very special, she's sort of a guest, but sort of just a team member. Mm-hmm. So she's not like a guest like we've had guests before.
Yep.
Her name is Ashley, and she's wonderful.
She's lovely.
She's been interning on IKR this season, helping with tons of things that you would never know, but she's made us all better. So Ashley, welcome.
Hi.
Why don't you introduce yourself? Tell us a little about you, where you go to school. How'd you end up here with us?
So I am a junior at Miami University in Oxford, not in Florida. Everybody thinks it's in Florida. And I had heard about IKR from a friend around right when you started. And I thought, oh, that's such a cool idea. So I started listening. And then this opportunity came up with scholars to intern with IKR. And so it's been an amazing experience to be alongside these amazing women.
Well, you're sweet.
Yeah. I was just thinking, she's the amazing one. I mean, she's been fantastic. She's smart and brilliant, and we're going to lose her for the summer, but we hope we get her back. What are you studying?
So I'm in journalism.
Nice.
So anything storytelling, I'm all about that.
Not only is Ashley a great storyteller, but she has written and self-published a book. Can you tell us about that for a minute, please?
So it's called A Scoop of Honey, A Beginner's Guide to Faith by Someone Who Once Googled Jesus. Had to put Love that it. In the subtitle because it's huge.
Yes.
Huge part of the story.
It
but yeah.
makes it very clear.
Yes.
I mean, where you're coming from is very clear if you Googled Jesus. Yeah.
Yes.
So we are answering listener questions. This has become our tradition. Mm-hmm. All three seasons we've done this. It's always super fun.
It is.
And we've been collecting them mostly via Instagram and email. And we have a whole list. We all have the same list in front of us. We haven't seen these questions before 5 minutes ago.
Nope.
And I still haven't really read them, even though they're on the screen in front of me. And we're just going to go through. And I think we could pick some for ourselves. We can choose them for each other. Mm-hmm. We'll try to get through as many as we can. If they're quick answers, we'll just give you the answer and move on. Ashley's going to be answering them, too, because, frankly, there's some that she's just the most qualified to answer.
Pretty much.
So anyway, I will start and I'm going to throw our first one to Ashley, if that's OK with you, Latasha. As a college student, someone writes, I feel like lots of community is one foot in and one foot out when it comes to faith. How do I find people to genuinely push and encourage me to be better in the midst of my college season?
So I think we can almost bring it back to what Brian Tome said this past weekend, which is we're some of the five people that we spend the most time with. And so I think evaluating who are the five people and how are they influencing you. And if you are not satisfied by that and you want to be more and kind of grow more, I think the first place you can go is, this sounds super corny, but like church. Honestly, look around. And if you see somebody that, or maybe even your small group that you're in, and somebody is just spitting out wisdom all the time and you want to be more like them, I think asking that person to go grab coffee or to literally just say, I want to be your friend, I think those are some things that we can do, just like extending the invitation to people that you admire and want to be more like.
Hmm, that's awesome.
That's great.
Yeah.
Allie, I think you need to answer the under-eye coverage question. We've gotten a lot of questions on Allie's under-eye concealer.
I mentioned on our beauty episode in a story, an Instagram story that we did, that my favorite beauty product is, it's called a hydrating under eye concealer. And if you, this sounds a little crazy, but if you Google the brand Benefit and Boeing, B-O-I-I-N-G, Google Benefit Boeing under eye concealer, and you will find it. It's a stick. So you can like put it on without, you know, touching your face. It's like a stick. And then you can, it's great. And so there's a couple different skin tones that are available so you can match your skin tone. And I got it at Ulta, but when I looked it up online to answer this question, I saw that you can get it at Sephora or Nordstrom. Like there's multiple places that sell it, but I got mine at Ulta because the girl helped me. I said, I look tired all the time. Help me. She was like, here's the thing you need. Okay. Oh,
it's your turn.
Okay. My turn.
You're so funny.
Okay. Latasha, what author or book would you recommend for strengthening your faith?
Ah. Oh, I have a great answer for that. Seriously, the Bible. Because let me tell you, I feel like there are lots of books that can help you that translate the Bible or take principles from the Bible. But really, I think the Bible is, it stands on its own. And so.
That's awesome.
So that's what I would do.
Yeah, amazing. That's awesome. Mm-hmm. I know this sounds really simple. People ask me all the time how to better understand their Bible. Mm-hmm. Guys, there's so many good commentaries out there.
Yep.
That's all I'll say is you could literally have something open next to you that when you had a question, you just read a paragraph and it was enough to get you over the hump of what is that thing? Because when I first started to read the Bible, I just needed a quick answer to help me not get held up by something. Mm-hmm. Now I'm in where I'm studying. That's a totally different thing. But I just needed to get over the little hiccups of what the heck is that thing? Who is that person?
Yep.
And you can literally just get these commentaries on the whole Bible where they just give you just enough to get over the hump.
Pastor Patterson, what's a commentary?
Oh, a commentary. It's a whole category of book. So what people have done is they have taken, some are verse by verse, some are paragraph by paragraph, some go through every part of the Bible, others just focus on one. You could get a whole volume, or you could get one book that did it all in a very succinct way. I would recommend just one book if you're starting out reading the Bible, and a commentary just goes through verse or paragraph and gives you kind of relevant information for understanding that verse or paragraph. Mm-hmm. So get a commentary.
Get a commentary.
And another thing I would suggest too, if you don't like to read, which some people just don't really like reading, there is a YouTube channel called The Bible Project, which has a ton of different videos on different books of the Bible, and they just unpack it and they do illustrations, and it's super engaging. So that's a good resource.
I will post, I'll tell you what, when we release this episode, I will put a picture and link to a couple of commentaries that I think are solid.
Oh, great.
Because there's some that I would be like, no, don't.
Great.
So we'll put a couple links up there to some decent commentaries.
Awesome. So. Oh, interesting. So we're all in different phases, but it says between the two of you, you've covered daughter, sister, friend, single, married, mom of littles. When it comes to each of those phases, what would be your don't miss this one thing people can take away? Why don't we circle an answer?
Good idea.
Okay.
That's great. I would say as you are getting married, have someone in your life for you and for your husband. Doesn't have to be a couple. Don't miss having someone who can teach you the ways of a good wife and a good husband. Mm. We just got married and we thought we were two nice people. Mm-hmm. And so we'd have a nice marriage. Mm-hmm. Well, no, it didn't really work like that. Turns out being a good wife is a thing.
Yeah.
And being a good husband is a thing. And I think as you're getting married, find the person that can actually help you with what that means.
Gosh, as a friend, don't miss, you know what? Don't miss the opportunity to, really just don't miss the opportunities. I was thinking, what I was going to say is don't miss the opportunity to, I heard somebody say, sit in the mud puddle with your friend. But also don't miss the dumb, random trip to Costco either. Like I have a girlfriend who I'll call and I'll say, what are you doing? She's like, I'm going to Costco. Want to come? Yeah, of course. I want to go. I don't need anything at Costco, but I just want to hang out with her. So don't miss the opportunity. I mean, there's always the big planned fun, you know, we're going out or we're going to the concert. Do not miss showing up at their house in pajamas on Easter because you don't want to really leave. Seriously, don't that's miss great. Those opportunities because that's what a real friend is. A real friend will allow you to show up at their house, thank you, Lynn, on Easter in pajamas because you just wanted to stay home.
You're over it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Or we'll call you and pick you up to go to Costco even though you don't need anything. And then when you forget your wallet, we'll buy your stuff.
Buy the thing that you picked out anyway. That's awesome. That is awesome.
Don't miss a trip to Costco with your girlfriend.
Okay, I'm going to do mom of littles.
Nice.
Okay. Moms of littles, you're not supposed to be having fun. Mm. Okay? There's a difference between joy and fun. I want you to be full of joy, but you're not supposed to be having that much fun. It's not that much fun. Mm. When the fun comes, yuck it up. But honest mm-hmm. to goodness, it's not that fun.
Yeah.
But like this is the phase where you get to go, I'm full of joy. Mm. I want you to ask God to fill you with the joy of your children mm-hmm. and your family because this is a great phase to do that and to pull apart yep. joy. And fun and happy. Mm-hmm. Those are two different concepts. And I just want to say, if you're not having fun.
It's okay.
Yeah. None of us did.
Welcome to the club.
Right. So it's totally okay. But I do want you to ask God to fill you with his joy. Because this is an amazing phase where you could get a hold of that for your whole journey of motherhood. I'm a deeply joyful mom. Mm. And it's because I wrestled with not having that much fun. As a mom of littles.
That's good to know. So. Mm-hmm.
I would say as a single, that's one that I identify with right now because I am fully single. I was in a relationship for 4 years and we broke up 6 months ago. And so these last couple months have been very transformative with my relationship with God, especially because when you are in a relationship with someone, your self-confidence already has a boost. You already feel a sense of security. There are so many things that come with a relationship that when you break up, there's so much crap that comes with that. Like, there's nobody affirming you all the time. Mm. You have to look in the mirror and go, what do we see here? Yeah. Like, so I would say as a single, I would really recommend not missing the intimacy you can have with God in that time. Last week, it was really funny. Two of my best friends are in great relationships, and I was hanging out with them for the night, and one of my friends goes, yeah, I'm going to go get ice cream with Josh, and I'm like, okay, great, and then Kat goes, yeah, I'm going to go see, like, how Matt's doing, and I'm thinking, well, I don't have much to do. I have a book at home, yeah. But then I'm like, so I head home, but I'm thinking, this time I can have with God. And even though it may sound cheesy, but I was able to grow in that time instead of wishing that I was going to somebody's, you know, going to get ice cream with someone or whatever. I was able to go, okay, God, what do you want me to know right now about who I am and about who you say I am, even though I'm not doing what my friends are doing? Like, what do you want to teach me in this season? Because I don't want to wish away this season. Yeah. Ever. You can't get this back, you know?
That's so
that's
good.
That's why we like her.
That's why we like her, everybody. That's really good. I have one. I'm going to go for this. It's really hard. And I'm going to try my best to answer this question because I think I'm the only one that can. And I don't really want to, but I'm going to try to help. Okay. A childhood friend became a lesbian in college, and now she is getting married to a woman she loves. As a Christian, I am struggling as to whether I go to her wedding or not. I feel like I'm supposed to love her, but I also feel like I will be supporting her in sin if I go. Before I attempt to answer this multi-layered question, I just want to say I think Christians the world over have been guilty of exactly what Jesus tells us not to do, which is judging others and not noticing the sin in our own life. And so I just want to say I'm gonna give this a shot. But I believe we all have ongoing sin struggles, some of which are inside and some of which find their way onto the outside of our lives and are just more obvious to others. So I hear this as a very genuine question as to how do you love and support a friend that you see, according to the way that you see the world, you see a struggle with sin in her life and you want to know how to respond. But I just feel like anytime we respond to homosexuality, it's just good to recognize that man, Christ followers have gotten this wrong so much. We've beat this issue into the ground and we've forgotten to examine ourselves because none of us are free of struggles with sin, both on inside our own hearts and on the outside of our lives. So I just want to say, I'm a sinful person with lots of sin who's going to attempt to answer a question about somebody else's sin. And that's a dangerous territory to be in. So we just always want to be careful in that space. And so I'm going to give it a shot because I do believe that a lot of us have questions like this. And I'd like to be helpful if I can. Okay. So person who asked this question, I'm going to ask you a few questions and I'll tell you a few things from my own self-discovery. My questions for you would be, is your friend a professing believer in Jesus Christ as her Lord and Savior? That's a super important question. The Bible has a lot of instruction for us about sin and how we treat sin, but as believers, we are to deal with one another's sin inside the church. Mm-hmm. Inside the church. And if your friend is a non-believer, it's fine to recognize that there might be sin in her life, but that your main role in her life is then not dealing with her sin. It is praying and loving and pushing her toward Jesus, who will then deal with her sin.
Yep.
And so that's the first question I would ask you and a little bit of perspective around why that matters. The second question I would ask you is this a person that you believe will be in your life for the long term? When my brother married his husband, I knew beyond a shadow of a doubt, this is somebody I love and I'm to be in their life for the long term. And instead, I'll tell you something I heard literally word for word when I was praying about his wedding. I specifically heard these words, which I would also say to you. You don't have to be his marketer. You don't have to wave God's flag. It isn't your job to advertise for Jesus. He wants you to love his people. And you must decide what that means. And that always includes both truth and grace. But if this is somebody who's to be in your life for the long term, then preserving that relationship in love and in grace is critically important. And I knew that were I not to go to my brother's wedding, if that would have been the choice that I would have made, our relationship would have ended. And it would have dishonored God for me to do that. And so this is a multifaceted situation, but those are some of the things that I think you need to be thinking through. I don't know, you know, I don't know the ins and outs of your relationship, but I do know it matters whether she's a believer. It matters whether you're to be in her life over the long term. And it matters that you come to a point with God where you realize your job is to love the people that he's given you to love. You don't have to worry about being misunderstood. Jesus was not a guy who was ever worried about being misunderstood. He was misunderstood all the freaking time. Nobody liked who he hung out with. Nobody liked the people he ate with. Nobody liked his friends. They thought he was wrong and bad. And I would say to you, don't worry about being misunderstood. So, okay.
Woo! Moving on.
Moving on.
Okay, Ashley, one for you. How do you deal with comparison?
So, really want to be a writer someday. And sometimes when I'm on social media, I'll compare myself.
You mean more than a writer than you already are? I mean,
well, you're right. I say that and that's like
just
funny.
Just published a book.
Right?
You're right. You're okay. Right. You know what?
I mean,
you are a writer.
I'm just checking.
Let's claim Ashley is a writer.
Ashley wrote. I mean, she's.
She wrote, right.
She will write more,
you're
but
so
she wrote.
Funny.
Okay, go ahead.
You're so funny. I think something I really struggle with is on social media, looking at people who have quote unquote made it and feeling like I haven't made it and owning the season that God has had me in or has me in right now. And I think that's just something that I'll always have to work on because I'm an achiever. Like I love if somebody's doing more. And this also, I think, has to do with the question that I want to ask to one of you guys. But I don't know. It's something I struggle with all the time. Like, I have a blog, and so I'll look at other bloggers. This is just being totally vulnerable. I'll look at other bloggers and be like, ugh, they have, you know, so many more accomplishments or things like that. So I would say comparison in that sense is really tough for me. And owning the story that God's given me and being like, okay, he is molding me. And just because I'm not in their shoes doesn't mean that he's not working in my life. Mm-hmm. That's just an honest way that I deal with comparison. And I deal with it a lot.
That's right.
That's yeah.
Right. All right. You want to pick one for Latasha?
Well, this, I want to ask both of you.
Okay.
So what are both of your Enneagrams?
I knew you were going to say that. I was going to say, don't ask me about Enneagrams because I can't stand that stuff.
Oh, well, why? And let's talk about why you can't stand it. Because everybody's talking about
I'm
it right
eight
now.
Or nine. Which one is the mean one?
That's the one challenger, you mean? A more positive way to put it?
I guess. I'm that one.
Eight. But it's also, how do you think that ties into your spiritual gifts? And let's talk about, like, is it healthy to talk about the Enneagram as much as we do, honestly?
Mm-hmm. Or any tests. Mm-hmm. Just she's.
Let's
she's
do this.
Doing.
Latasha, you do it. She but we do all need to share our Enneagram.
I do.
Especially
okay.
you guys.
I have a major beef with, in general, personality profiles, indexes, indices, however you call it. I, once upon a time, worked for a collection call center, and we were trying to find the best collector, like the best profile for a collector. So we hired this company and paid them gobs of money to look at our top performers and come up with a profile. And then we tested it against people that we were hiring. And so we had the people that, per the test, would say, okay, hire them and put them during, you know, put them in this track and hire them and do this other track. And then just kind of as a, for giggles and grins, we took all the people that they said not to hire and hired them anyway. And turns out that the folks that we were told not to hire literally turned out to be the best collectors. Literally. I mean, hand over fist. And we spent hundreds of thousands, six figures for sure, on this profile because we thought it was so important. And so from that moment on, I was in no way, shape, or form a fan. And I don't know much about Enneagram because I have since stopped
just
all of the madness.
It out.
I stopped the madness.
Oh,
I went
funny.
To the class here. We took a class and I was like, I'm out.
Okay, did you take it though?
I did take it.
Okay.
What
are you?
I'm an eight. I think. Is that the one?
Hold on. I'm on the profiles because I wanted to.
Do you know what you are?
Hold on. I was going to name the eight. Active controller?
That's me. That's me.
No, here's your self-talk. I'm just checking that this
sure.
is the right type.
Yeah.
The
sure
world is
it.
A tough and unjust place. Only the strong survive. I'm a rock. I won't be weak, and I will control and do it my way.
Yes. Yep. That's totally me.
Yeah. I'll read mine, too. They're not all pretty.
What's yours? They're all not pretty at
okay,
all.
Okay, so I've never taken the full test, but I did an abbreviated test, so it gave me all the caveats. You may not be this. You may not be this, so because it wasn't abbreviated. But I'm a five.
What's that mean?
A quiet specialist. Here's the self-talk box for this one. The world is intrusive. I'll protect my resources and energy mm-hmm. so that I can think. I will be self-sufficient and probably won't depend on others too much. I must understand and make sense of my world. I don't need much, but I do need my space. Yes. That's
so
what
funny.
I'll say.
I think I'm a three.
Okay.
That's
well,
what I have the most comp. But then they pigeonhole you. They think that you should
Girl,
be every single thing. And I'm like, that's
what Latasha's
me.
Mad
that's
about.
Point,
that's
man.
Exactly what she's
it.
Talking about.
Okay, read three and then I'm going to tell
three,
you the rest of my beef.
Competitive achiever. Your self-talk would be something like, the world values winners, and so I will succeed at all costs and avoid failure. I am what I do, and I will probably earn my place by being the best at what I do.
See, that sounds nasty to me.
Oh, like, that doesn't sound, that just sounds like an approach yeah, so, yeah, to me. I don't read
see,
that
like,
as nasty.
And that's why I'm like, oh, I don't know if I want it. Because part of, there are other description of threes that kind of put them.
Oh, there's lots of descriptions.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I'm just reading this little box, just FYI, that I'm reading. It means what goes on in your head.
Okay.
It doesn't like mean yeah. that that's what you are.
Totally.
They're calling this the self-talk. So
right,
to me, that's
right.
easy to see. Do I think things like mm-hmm. that? If I think things like that, then that's probably my self-talk. Mm-hmm. So that's why I was reading that. But there's a whole descriptive page
right,
here
right.
about all the fullness.
What are you thinking right now?
She's so mad at us for talking about this.
You know
this,
what?
This long.
I just, it bothers me because I've only ever worked around people and with people, even though I'm an introvert. And there's a lot that goes into your personality, like motivation, mm-hmm. like what you need at that particular moment, like, sure. you know, where you are in your family style and dynamics. And so while I am very much, you know, there are other things that if I took it, it would say that I'm all fire and something else, all fire and all earth, or the disc would say that I'm a high D and a high C and everything else is super low. But the reality is, I want to have relationships and I want to keep friendships and I want to keep my job. So I don't just roll up on people all the time with my high D or with my 8 or whatever that number is.
You know why? Because you are a temple of the Holy Spirit.
Thank you.
You have self-control.
Yes.
You are growing in kindness, joy, faithfulness, patience, peace, yes. love. Those are the things yes. that come out of possessing the Holy Spirit. You are not
I'll
run by your D.
Yep. Thank you.
Amen.
You are run by the Holy Spirit.
Yes. And I get irritated. Thank you for saying that. I agree with that. And I want other people to hear that. And I just don't love labels. I think yeah. we just label too much.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And I'm not a fan. So mm-hmm. I generally reject anything that feels like a label mm-hmm. for anything. So.
And I think the Enneagram is healthy when we look at it's good for our unhealthy spots. Like if we notice maybe I'm running too fast and I'm not like literally running because I don't run, mm-hmm. but like doing a lot of stuff
walking.
At once,
yeah, by a bear.
Like trying to or comparing my success to somebody else's success. Like I'm seeing the unhealthy aspects of my number mm-hmm. and that's good. But for me to look at every day and go, what can I do today as a 3? It's like, no. It's more like
right.
the Holy Spirit's what we should be tapping into.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Okay. One last question here. I feel this lady. It was a sweet, and by I mean sweet, I mean like a real and vulnerable question. So that's why I'm bringing this up. What are your thoughts on having kids? My husband and I have been married for 6 years and I'm freaking out about having kids. He's ready, but I'm not sure I'll ever be ready. Although I know I do want them. Does God want us to have kids if we are able to have them? What's your best advice on how to prepare my heart and my marriage for kids? So there's like 4 questions in one. Mm-hmm. I'll say why my heart went out to her, and please feel free to chime in, you guys. I was married for 6 years before we had kids, so that grabbed my attention right away. I, too, always knew that I wanted to have kids, so I just identified with whoever asked this question. I wasn't freaking out about them, but I was unsure how to prepare and when's the right time. And I just think there's a lot that goes into that, that I understand this questioning. Does God want you to have kids if you're able to have them? Okay, so you've been given a life and a lot of freedom. And I think that you are able to choose whether you would like to have kids or whether you would not want to have kids. I think that's some freedom that God gives to you and your husband. I don't believe that God gives you that freedom alone. I think that you are one with your husband and that he gives you, as in the collective you in the marriage, a lot of freedom to determine your life course. I believe one of his core purposes for marriage is to bring up children in godly homes. And if you and your husband are lovers of Jesus, I think it would be a very honoring and wonderful thing for you to raise children in a home that knows and loves Jesus. And I think God loves that when that happens. So I would say both of those things. And my best advice on how to prepare your heart and your marriage for kids.
Is there a preparation? They're going to, you know what? Children, you just wear your heart on your sleeve. I don't believe that there's a preparation.
I really don't either.
Yourself so exposed in ways that you would never, ever imagine.
I was going to say, I think you could follow around 10 moms and you won't be like any of them. Mm-mm. So I wouldn't even bother with that, to tell you the truth. And maybe this will comfort you, woman, sweet woman who asked this question. I never changed a diaper. I never shadowed another mom. Mm. I never liked to babysit. And I knew I wanted to have kids. Mm-hmm. And I love my kids down to my pinky toenail, mm-hmm. like mm-hmm. from the top of my head, fully yeah. inside me with everything I have. Yeah. I adore them.
Yep. Yeah.
And I never changed the diaper, and I said mm-hmm. no to many more babysitting jobs than I ever said
yeah.
yes to.
Yeah.
You're going to be a great mom.
Yeah, you will.
You're going to be a great mom. You're going to be a great mom.
Yep. So much fun. Another season. I will still say that my favorite part, maybe I have a favorite part of this season, but I do believe that my favorite part is spending time with Allie. I really, I 100% believe that to be true. It's mm-hmm. just a treat. You're mm-hmm. so rich and so deep and funny. And you have great mascara,
so
girl.
Hilarious.
I love your mascara.
Yeah, you do. Now, you better. That's all I'm saying is you better.
I love that mascara.
Season 3 has been amazing. Ashley's been helping us work concepts already for season 4. Mm-hmm. And if we did not answer your listener questions today, we're going to do some Instagram stories
yeah,
and answer some more.
That's right.
It's going to be so fun. Yeah. So if we didn't answer yours, we'll try to get to as many as will be fun on Instagram. And we'll put some stories up there as this episode releases. So follow us mm-hmm. at IKR Podcast if you're not. And please share this listener questions episode if you have a friend that you thought of on any of the answers. So yeah. this is a great one to share. Yeah. So definitely do that. And we'll see you. Ashley, you want to say any last words?
I just want to say thank you to all who listen. We so appreciate you, and we are so excited for season 4.
Yeah.
That's great.
That's it.
Good to be with you.
Bye,
we're
guys.
Out. IKR is a production of Crossroads Church, Cincinnati, Ohio. We always love to hear from our listeners, so drop us an email at ikr@crossroads.net, or you can find us mostly active on Instagram at IKR Podcast. Our music is thanks to Mae Klingler, and you can find more from her at mayklingler.com or on Spotify or iTunes. You won't be sorry you did.